I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Faith is one of the most wonderful, amazing things you will ever learn about. And when I say faith, I mean faith in God. Faith in God, the only God, creator of heaven and earth. And the scripture tells us that we who are born again, we have received a measure of God's own faith, the God kind of faith. And that is something to be excited about, because He created everything you see and know about with His faith. He spoke it into existence with His faith and with His wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And so we are His children, and we're told to be imitators of God as dear children. We're to learn how He does things and imitate Him. Follow Him and do it the way He does it. So He said, faith comes by what you hear. So let's pray and agree together today that just what we said, our faith will be fed. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for utterance, asking for the anointing, asking for revelation and direction. We want to see, Lord, not just what men think about you. We don't want to just hear the wisdom of men. We want to know you, the real you, and your knowledge and your understanding and wisdom. We ask for it in Jesus' name, in the utterance and ears to hear it. Amen.
Amen.
Look, please, in Psalm 23 again, we're on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And what we're doing is giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture that we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it out loud if you would. Abundant provision
is always God's will
for us all.
Always God's will
for me.
For me.
What's always God's will for you?
Abundant provision.
We should be so convinced of this from the Bible, from the Word, that if we're experiencing lack in some area, we should go, hey, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? This is not normal for a child of God. This is not how it's supposed to be. And so we begin to inquire of the Lord, what's the hindrance? What's the problem? Because we know if God's will was done, we'd have abundant provision,
right.
Everything we needed. So we're not just, you know, reasoning about this, what you think or I think, but going one by one through numerous great truths in the Scripture that reveal this beyond, in my mind, beyond any question. Our first reason was, the Lord is my shepherd. And Psalm 23:1 said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the same word translated lack. And he goes on to say, other translations we read, the Lord's my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want or lack for anything. And is he a good shepherd or a bad shepherd? Is he my shepherd? Can I expect to be well taken care of?
Yes.
So the second reason was the goodness of God. And what we talked about, is abundance good or is it bad? Is being, you know, there's terrible pressure and vexation that comes from financial problems and money problems. A lot of times marriages have not survived financial troubles and pressures. People, when they're under pressure, a lot of times they take it out on each other. It's a bad thing, but people do. You don't have to. But people don't know what to do, and they're losing their house, and they're losing their car, and they can't pay their bills. And is that good? No. Is there any redeeming thing about that? No. There is no redeeming quality of poverty, because it is a product of man's poverty and sickness, and all the curse and death is the product of man's sin and the resultant curse. So to say that these things are somehow okay, well, then that makes what they came from okay. No, if there had never been any sin, there would never have been any sickness. There would never have been anybody poor or any lack at all. And so something that happened as a result of man's disobedience and sin and fall is not somehow amazingly God's will now. He made things the way he wanted them to be. And that's perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Perfect. If God's will was done in all the earth, nobody would be poor. Nobody would be in lack. Nobody would be under pressure. Nobody would be hurting. Do you understand that's how it is in heaven right now?
Yes.
Huh? There's nobody that the bank's about to come repossess their mansion in heaven. Huh? Received their final notice yesterday. So sorry. You'll have to leave this section of heaven. No, no, no. That none of that has ever been the will of God, and never will it be. Now, the reason I say this, because you got a lot of confused Christians out there. You got a lot of confused preachers and Bible teachers that'll try to tell you that poverty can be a blessing in disguise. That going through this pressure and this lack is somehow developing your piety, whatever that is. Don't you believe it? I said, don't you believe it? That's men's reasoning. Trying to explain things they don't understand. Do not base your beliefs on the ideas of men and women. Base it on it is written. And that's what I'm endeavoring to give you week after week here. We're going to not just one, not just two, not just 10, 30 solid proofs from Scripture why we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Amen. I like just saying it. Yeah. Come on, say it with me. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Amen? Amen. All of us. So we got down to reason number 9 in our study. Honor and riches was number 9. And now we're down to number 10, wisdom and wealth. Wisdom and wealth. What we saw, just introducing it on yesterday's class, we saw that the wisest was the richest. Jesus talked about in Luke 12, the master said that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like God clothes the hillsides with flowers and all of that. But he referred to Solomon's glory. Well, part of it, he's specifically referring to how he dressed. Solomon did not dress in cheap stuff. Now, we have to talk about this because folks have totally lost this. They've embraced men's traditional thinking, and that somehow nice clothes is bad. Oh, you don't want, oh no. Did you know how much they spent on those clothes? No, they're acting like that upset God. That God's like, you spent how much? that God is somehow really displeased if you had expensive clothes. Well, why wasn't he displeased when Solomon was wearing so much nice stuff? And then why in the world would Jesus refer to it as glory? See, there is a disconnect somewhere. Can you see this? No, the scripture connects wisdom and wealth. The wisest was the richest. So is wisdom good or bad?
Good.
Good. Is wealth good or bad?
Good.
It's good, right? Now, money in and of itself is not good or bad. The medium of currency, you could do good or bad with it, couldn't you?
Right.
You know, if you had $1 million, you could do something bad with it, right?
Yeah.
Or you could do something good with it.
Yeah.
That would be up to you, huh? And if the money could talk and somebody did something bad with it, it would go, hey, hey, my fault. I was just there. Right? They did something bad with me. And that's true if it's an expensive car or a house or jewelry or whatever it may be. Is a better item bad because it's expensive? Huh? Or is the nice best things only for ungodly people, not for godly people? Then what's the answer? Well, y'all are quiet. Okay. Solomon, the wisest, was the richest. And we talked about that. I want to go further. In this account of Solomon in 1 Kings 4, let me read some of this to you. And I'm reading the Bible. Anybody like the Bible?
Yes.
Huh? And what you want to ask yourself is, why is this in the Bible? Why is this here? What did the Lord want us to get out of this? Why put it in here? Well, listen to what happened with Solomon after he prayed the prayer and asked for wisdom. And the Lord was pleased with his prayer and said, I'm giving you wisdom and I'm giving you riches and honor. Well, in 1 Kings 4, Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines to the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. Something is going on that is drawing wealth to Solomon. He's what we might call a money magnet. Now, you read it and you see what I'm talking about. It's just things are coming to him. What's the connection? Why? And if it was bad and he was acting godly at that point, wouldn't he refuse it? Wouldn't he reject it? Well, oh, no, this is too much. This is too much. If that's right and godly. But no, it just kept coming. And it kept getting bigger and bigger. Now, it gives you some detail about his weekly budget, if you will. It says in verse 22, Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 60 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, and 20 oxen out of the pastures. Not 30 steaks, 30 cows. A day, and 100 sheep a day. Now, this wasn't just all for him personally. It was his family, his staff, and what have you. But still, 100 sheep and 30 cows? Huh? Beside harts and roebucks and deer and fatted fowl. They didn't number the chickens. Just a bunch. Now, why is this in the Bible? Why do we believe the scriptures are inspired or not?
Yes.
If you do, then you don't believe there's unnecessary, superfluous detail. Why is it inspired? Well, see, people who think wrong, they'd read this and go, oh, that's crazy. spending all that money on food in one day. That's crazy. Or sinful. Sinful. Sinful is what it is. Because how much money, you know, could you give to the poor? Huh? 30 cows. This indignation that I just tried to express. And that's the word that was used to describe those who opposed Jesus in his life and ministry. It said the rulers answered with indignation. They're like, oh, oh, this holier than thou. That stuff, child of God, is of the enemy, not God. It is a false humility. It is a fake reverence. It is deception. And it's acting like God's resources are so strained that we have to be stingy with everything. Because God's right at the limit of what he can do. And so we have to save him some money and save him some stuff, or it's not going to be enough to go. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? No, it has never been a source limitation. Amen. It's been a wrong thinking limitation, a wrong believing limitation, a narrowness of heart and mind limitation. Why is he telling us this? Because if Solomon can have 30 cows a day, you can have a steak. You'll be okay. Is that right? If Solomon's household can go through 100 sheep a day, you can have a whole barbecue chicken. Is that right? Just a whole, go ahead and get a whole chicken. Now we're laughing, but the enemy has choked the church through this restrictive idea that narrowness and tightness and poverty is somehow godly and holy, and that one of the worst mistakes you could make is doing things in an abundant way. No, God is big. Amen. I said he's big. He's big. And he wants you to have good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and too many cows. Huh? Amen. Too many fish. Haven't we seen that? Net breaking. Ship sinking. Is that right? That's what God did. Cup running over. That's God. I said, that's God. You know what else is God? 30 cows, 100 sheep. Huh? Yeah. 26. Verse 26. Now, they didn't have cars back then. No automobiles. But they had chariots. And they had fast horses. And two beautiful fast horses and a gold and a special wood chariot would be like a Ferrari today. Yeah. Or a Mercedes or whatever. And so Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. You got to have people to drive all that. Yes. You got to keep them horses exercised, you know. And 40,000 stalls of horses to hook up to his chariots. All his chariots that he had, we're talking thousands and thousands. And doesn't that just make you sick? No. Huh? Doesn't this disgust you?
No. Not at all.
Did God put it in the Bible for you to go, ugh?
No.
This just makes me sick.
No.
What is the Spirit of God portraying? Wisdom. Are y'all with me, class? What's different about Solomon than some of the others? Well, he's got all this. Yeah, but why does he have all this? Where did it come from? See, it's not what you have, it's how you got it. If you lied, if you stole to get it, that's evil. But if the Lord added it to you the right way and the right time because you listened to him, he gave you instruction and wisdom and understanding, and you followed him, and you did exactly what he told you to do, and he poured it on you. Hallelujah. Until it overflowed. Is that good or is that bad? Is wisdom good or is foolishness good? Then what goes with wisdom is wealth. That's one of the big illustrations about what, why they're talking about Solomon. What's the thing that was Solomon's glory? Wisdom and wealth. Now, a big part of this is leading up to, he's going to lead and oversee the building of God's temple. Hallelujah. And they're at a point where they have wealth and resources far greater than their fathers or their forefathers. And is it a coincidence that it's just in time to spend billions building the temple of the Lord? No. And how did they get there? From where his father was to where he is now? What did he ask for? Wisdom. And God said, I'm giving it to you. And comes with riches and honor. Verse 27, those officers provided victual for King Solomon and all that came to King Solomon's table, every man in his month, they lacked nothing. Is it true that if you listen to God and you follow him and walk in his wisdom, you should lack nothing?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And that the Lord is your shepherd.
Yes.
You shall not lack. All goes together. And verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that's on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, we had studied this in our previous lessons, but I want to go over it again in connection with wisdom. We studied in 1 Kings 10 how the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, and because she had heard of his fame where she was. Now, apparently, her country was south of his, which would have put her down in North Africa probably somewhere. And she came with an entourage and a camel train of stuff. She's a queen. And the Bible says that she had a bunch of questions she wanted to ask him. And she grilled him, I guess, for hours. And the Bible said he answered every question. And she was just impressed is not the word. The Bible said after the queen of Sheba had seen Solomon's wisdom, this is 1 Kings 10:4. She saw the palace he had built. She saw the food at his table, the manner of seating of his officials, the manner in which his staff served him, how they were dressed, his personal servants, and his burnt offering that he offered in the house of Adonai. It left her breathless. She's a queen. She's used to nice stuff herself. But when she saw his stuff, she was, as we'd say, blown away. She was like, wow. Looking at what? Now see, Jesus referred to Solomon's glory. This is part of it. They weren't dressed shabbily. That was Jesus' whole point about looking at the flowers on the field. That Solomon was, his clothes must have been amazing. But price was not even a consideration. The best of the best. Verse 18, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid it with best gold. Does that make you sick?
No.
Now, why do I say that? Have you ever heard Christians say, that just makes me sick? That's a bad confession. Huh? Besides that, why would you care? It's their money, right? It's not yours. Are you coveting their money? Do you care too much about money? See, if you don't care about money, you don't get upset about money. If you get upset about money, it's because you care a lot about it. And he made his throne of ivory and then overlaid it with the best gold. And it had six steps. And the top of the throne was round, and there were stays on either place of the seat, two lions beside the stays. And now all of these are gold. Not flake gold. Half inch deep gold over everything. And 12 lions, golden lions, were on one side, one on each side of the six steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. You know, if you look to God, He'll give you ideas nobody else has had. You don't have to copy somebody else. And all of King Solomon's vessels were gold, and the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None were silver. Silver was accounted in the days of nothing, days of Solomon. So Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Is it telling you why he's got so much? Why has he got so much? Wisdom. Got so much what? Riches. Say it out loud. Wisdom and riches. Riches and wisdom. It goes on to say, and Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and garments, and armor, and spices, and horses, and mules, a rate, year by year. There was this continual flow of money and things just coming to him all the time. Because of what? His wisdom. And there were riches. Can you see the connection in the word, child of God? Yes. Well, when did God change and go, you know, I like wisdom, but I'm getting rid of the richest part. I used to be that way, but we're going to make a change. No, it's always been that way. It will always be that way. It's not the riches that's the problem. It's loving them. Covetous. That's the problem. And we're out of time again today. Said out loud, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.